creation account from the book of Genesis, chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 4 through 9 and verse 15. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Laura, and I haven't had the chance to meet you quite yet, and I am so excited to get to be here with you this morning. We have been in a series over the past few weeks that has been talking about something that none of us are immune from, something that impacts and affects every single one of us at least some of the time. We have been talking about stress. And I'm going to guess that quite a few of us walk through these doors with a little bit of it today. You know, maybe you have a family member who's a little ill, or you have some money that's being a little tight in your home at this moment. Maybe you come in the door and you're thinking through the to-do list of things you wanted to get done this weekend, but notice that maybe there's more undone than actually complete. Or maybe you feel like you've just run a marathon, just getting your kids up and ready here through the doors of the church. I know I feel that way most Sundays. So, because most of us probably came through the door with a little bit of stress, I wanted us to try out something a little different today. And I want you to go with me here. Just give it a shot, okay? But we are going to do a relaxation exercise, okay? So, here's how we'll get started. I want you to put your feet flat on the floor. Put your hands in your lap, sit up really tall, and if you're willing, close your eyes. Take in a few deep breaths. And as you're settling in, I want to ask you to imagine something. I want you to picture in your mind paradise. Can you see it? What does it look like for you? Are you picturing it in your mind? If so, what are you doing while you're there? Can you see yourself? Are you enjoying it? If so, good. Take it all in. Relish it for a few more moments. Because now I want to ask you to open your eyes and come back to reality. All right, so I'm very, very curious. I would love to know what paradise looked like for you. And so that's where that menti.com comes in right now. Go ahead and grab your phone, pull it out. If you're at menti.com, you're gonna see up in the top here of the screen, there's 6 digits, and you need to put those into your phone. Whether you're here in the room or online, you can do this. You're gonna type in 12 2806. And once you're there, it's going to give you the opportunity to tell me in just one word answers what you saw in your picture of paradise. It's going to let you tell me up to 3 things. You can just do 1, you can do up to 3. But again, one word answers, what did you see? Keep going. You can watch it kind of in real time as people put their answers in. All right. You can see right there in the middle, the thing that's in the middle and the biggest is most of you saw the beach. And I'll be honest, that would be on my list. I definitely would have put myself there. We see sun, we see the family and water, the ocean, heaven is showing up there, pretty large mountains maybe. All right. But right there in the middle, it's not changing, is it? Most of us saw the beach. I think we should all just take off and go. All right. They're still piling in. Okay. We're just going to stop right there. Maybe. All right. You can keep on voting, but we're going to move on. I've got one more question. I'm also extremely curious about what you saw yourself doing while you were there. So again, one word answers. You can give me up to three, but you only have to put in one. What did you see yourself doing in your picture of paradise? Man, that word got really big really fast. Relaxing, resting, sitting, playing, reading. We got people who are being active a little bit, like hiking, I saw, hugging, listening. Those are great answers, you guys. I like your paradise. All right, I'm watching these answers. Come on in. I like this one, chilling. That's a good one. Yoga. Looking over in the mountain, great. I'm looking over all these, and there's one answer that has not shown up, and I'm not really surprised by this, but the one word that I don't see even in the smallest font is the word work, right? No one saw themselves in paradise typing on their laptop while on the beach. No one was standing on a mountaintop giving a presentation to a group. No one was folding laundry or doing the dishes while you were there. Right? We wouldn't be doing those things because paradise is supposed to be the place where we don't work. That's the point, isn't it? It's supposed to be like this ultimate vacation that takes us far, far, far away from our job, whether we're a CEO or a stay-at-home parent, an architect or an engineer. Whatever we are, we're getting a break. And if work were involved, well, paradise just wouldn't be paradise. This place of extreme, extraordinary, exceptional happiness that we have imagined it to be. But do you want to hear something really interesting? In the original paradise, the Garden of Eden, the very place upon which all of our ideas and concepts of paradise are rooted and find their basis, do you know what was commonplace there? Work was. All right, I'm not trying to destroy your picture of paradise here. I'm just reporting the facts. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you're having a hard time with it, you can take it up with God. But work was always a part of the picture. It was always a part of our purpose. Not just after the sin and brokenness entered into creation after the fall, but before all of that, from the very beginning, when God first created the world and everything in it and called it good. Genesis 2 that we heard read for us, it talks about this. It recounts for us how God, when he created the first human being, Adam, he took him and placed him in this garden that he had planted in the east called Eden. And then verse 15, the last verse we read, it says this: the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, into paradise. And why? I want you to read the underlined part with me. To work it and take care of it. There it is for us, right? This is just an echo of what has already been said in Genesis 1 in the account of the creation of humankind that comes before. There in verse 27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Work it and take care of it, subdue it and rule over it. It sounds pretty clear that God created us with a job in mind, even in paradise. So work was not and it is not some sort of punishment, but rather it was always a part of a God-given purpose that God has for us. And not only that, but it's also one of the ways that we reflect God himself through our existence. Did you catch that in Genesis 1? It talks about how God created us, both male and female, in his very image. And so he crafted us in such a way to be reflections of him. And what is the God like that we are reflecting? Well, up to that point in Genesis, here's what we know about him. Our God, he's an artist who creates something out of nothing. And he is an inventor that is making new things come into being. Our God is a tinkerer who loves to invest himself lovingly into what he is making. And he's a gardener that's not afraid to get down in the dirt a little bit. In short, in Genesis, we see that our God is a worker. He's the creator and sustainer and manager of the universe. And as he does what he does, he has appointed us to be his co-laborers, to work and to take care of, to subdue and to rule over the earth. So work was meant to be this good thing. It was meant to be part of our purpose. And one of the ways that we reflect God himself through our existence. But let's go back to what we put up on the screen, right? If we were to imagine the perfect place, if we were to imagine paradise, it doesn't even make the list of things that we would want to be there. And so why is that? What has changed? I want us to reflect on that today. But from the start, if we start to get honest with ourselves, the reason we didn't put it up there is because it really stresses us out. In fact, multiple studies confirm that job stress is far and away the foremost reason for stress in American adults. And this isn't something that's changing. It's something that's only intensifying for us. You would think that with all of the advances that we've made, you know, like all of the things that have led to an improvement in our standard of living, the fact that we have all these comforts that can give us ease, the fact that we have technology that makes work easier for us, that all of this would add up and it would lead to more relaxation, you know, that big word that blew up for us in our lives. In the 1950s, people were watching how all of this was happening, and they were making these predictions. They said, by today and by this time in 2019, we would have come so far that we would be enjoying a 15-hour work week, and our biggest problem would be trying to figure out what to do with our free time. How has that worked out for us, right? Instead, we are working more, not less. While other wealthy nations have shortened their work weeks and given their workers more time just to enjoy life, here in America, our workers, we are working more than anyone else in an industrialized nation. For example, the average American works the equivalent of 1 month more per year than a person in Japan and works the equivalent of 3 months more than someone in Germany. To fuel our constant working, we've developed things like this drink called Soylent. Have you heard about this? It's this drink that software developers and Wall Street brokers and entrepreneurs are turning to that provides for them 20% of their daily nutrition in just one pop so that their work never has to stop, right? It gives them this full meal so that they can chug right on along. But toward what? And at what cost? The stress associated with our work, it's been linked to an increase in heart attacks and in hypertension and all other kinds of disorders, particularly when we feel like we are in a job where we have a lot of demand on us and little control in our workplace. One survey, it tried to drill down even further to get really down into it and to see what is it about our work that stresses us out so much. And they came up with four things. There are these four things that kind of top the list: juggling work and personal lives, lack of job security, workload, and people issues. They're not in order up here, okay? Because I thought it would be fun to see if we could figure it out. So if you still have your phone out and you still have Minty, you're going to have a new question that's going to appear. And it's going to ask you to rank in order the top four causes of stress in the workplace. So you can go ahead and enter those in, and we'll see how we measure up to what the survey found. Everything's staying pretty steady so far. Oh, people issues is growing there. We'll let it keep on going behind us, but let me go ahead and let you in on what the actual survey said. The actual survey actually turned out a little different than this, which might say something about us here in this room, I don't know. But first on that list was workload. 46% of people said that their workload was just too much. You know, in lots of settings where people are trying to get more done with less people, I can see how that could happen. 28% people issues was number two on that list, because let's be honest, we just don't mesh with everyone, do we? Sometimes people are difficult, and sometimes those people are us, you know, we have to be self-aware. Juggling work and personal lives came in at 20%. You know, we have this illusion that we can have this work-life balance, and we're always chasing it. And then last on the list was lack of job security at 6%. And I know even here in our town of Bowling Green, we've experienced a little bit of this with some of our major employers in the past few years, and we've seen just how much stress that can bring. But these are the major causes of stress that were identified. These are the things that we tend to talk about when it comes to experiencing stress in the workplace. They're the things that we can kind of put our finger on and identify. But as I look at these causes that are listed here, I have to wonder if there's actually a deeper cause, something that's kind of underlying all of these, something that's more of a fundamental factor that is really fueling and fanning into flame much of our angst in the workplace. You see, many of us have come to see our work as the thing that gives our lives meaning, the thing that gives us worth and value in our lives, as being the thing that defines us and makes us complete. So much so that we are passing this on down to our kids, perhaps without even knowing it, at an even greater degree. A recent study among young people found that achieving their career passion was their highest priority, above and beyond making money or getting married. In fact, finding a fulfilling job was almost 3 times more important to them than having a family. That's what we're modeling for our young people. But I also have to wonder about people in this room and in our church and in our society who've now reached retirement. You know, you guys that are now there, do you find that this is a lingering mindset? Is it hard for you to maybe not be producing something? Have you found yourself wondering, like, who am I now that I'm not in this role? You know, what is my value now that I'm not contributing through a job? I'm going to guess for a good number of us, the answer to those questions, you know, is yes, you perhaps struggle with that. Because as one writer has put it, work has evolved from a means of material production to a means of identity production for us. In light of this, if I could take all this and kind of boil it down and put it into one sentence for what I think it is that is causing our stress in the workplace at a deeper level, it would be this. We have come to expect it, that our work and our calling are always synonymous. But here's the problem with that. Only 1/3 of us will ever feel like our job actually is our calling. That's 66% of us that when we come in approaching our job with this, it is my identity and my purpose and my calling mindset, we are going to experience this huge disconnect. We are going to be discouraged and defeated and disappointed, wondering, what is the meaning of my life after all? You know, do I have any worth or significance? Will my life ever be complete? And in the midst of all of that swirling and all of that questioning, guess what it causes for us? Stress. So maybe, just maybe, work is so stressful for us, not because of our workload or for the people issues we face or our work-life balance or our job security, but because we are asking far too much from it. We are asking it to provide us with something that it was never meant to give. When God created human beings and placed us in paradise, work was always supposed to be part of our purpose, but not the whole of it. It was never meant to be the thing that defines us, but rather just one of many ways that we live out God's true calling for our lives. You see, first and foremost, you and I, we were created for relationship. We were created to live to and for and by God. And so our primary calling is not to a particular profession, but rather our primary calling is to a person. To a person who loves us and claims us as his child. Then, it's in the context of this relationship that we are living, loved by him, and then whatever we do becomes this sacred opportunity. This sacred opportunity to express back to him and to others his love. And so maybe you are here today and you are among the 66%, the two-thirds of us who feels like their job maybe isn't the best fit, who feel like you're in a position that doesn't at all seem meaningful or significant. Perhaps you are doing what you do simply because there are things that need to be done and bills that need to be paid. And that's a very faithful, not a bad thing. But you go around feeling stressed and defeated, saying, I am just whatever your job might be. But I want you to know today that you are not just anything. You are a child of God with the highest of all high callings on your life, to be loved and to love. And so the tasks that are assigned to you, they might seem menial to you. They might seem pointless or small. But because of this primary calling you have on your life, even the smallest of things can be charged with significance. They can be these things that we do that can be filled with the great love that we have received with God that does nothing less than bring heaven right here on earth, right in our midst. Maybe today you're in the group of people that are the exception, the one-third of us who feel like our job indeed is our calling. And you might be feeling like, oh, I'm off the hook here a little bit, right? But I'm going to say to you today, it's actually a pretty dangerous place to be. And I'm going to be talking to myself more than anyone else because I would put myself in this group. Here's the big temptation for the one-third of us who think that our job is our calling. It's not saying that I am just whatever your profession might be, but rather that I am my career, making our work our identity. Here's what's so dangerous about that. If we think that our purpose is found solely in our work, then we are basing the meaning of our lives on something that can change or be taken away. And not only that, we are selling ourselves short. Because that purpose pales in comparison to the calling, the true calling that God has for our lives. It is as we live into that calling, as a child of God, that being loved and loving others, that the meaning of our life is made plain. And that our value and our worth become something that always remain. So work is good. It is, and it was, and it always be a part of our purpose from God. And one of the ways that we reflect his image in the world, but it was never meant to be the whole. It was never meant to be the thing that defines us. And when we make it into that, then no doubt it is going to stress us out because we are looking to our work to do something for us that only God can do. You know, even back in Genesis 1, when we go back and we read that again, we see that work wasn't supposed to be everything. Not only did God say to work the ground and to tend to it, to subdue it and to rule over it, but he also says, hey, be fruitful and multiply. You see all these trees I've planted? Go eat some of it. In other words, he's saying, enjoy it. Have some fun. In that original paradise, there was always supposed to be this rhythm. This rhythm between labor and leisure, effort and ease, work and play. I'm going to guess that many of you have never probably thought about play being a spiritual habit. And I'll be honest, I really haven't until recently myself. But over the past little bit, I've come to believe that it's just that. That play is actually this gift from God that keeps work in its proper place, shrinking it down to the size that it should be in our lives rather than letting it take over and stress us out. Of course, in our work-oriented culture, most of us have probably come to see play as an absolute waste of time, as something that's just going to cause more stress for us if we take the time to do that instead of continuing down our task list. But when you look at the studies, they actually tell us otherwise. The research tells us that you and I, we are actually biologically programmed for play, and that when we engage in play, that it actually improves our work. It enhances it. It makes us more creative. It adds excitement back to our job, and it helps us to cope with the challenges that we face. Dr. Stuart Brown, he's written an entire book about this. And in it, he says this. He says, the opposite of play is not work. It's depression. Think about that. We need play for our well-being, for our overall health. And then he goes on to say this, in the long run, work does not work without play. It seems that there's something to God establishing this rhythm from the very beginning, from telling us to do both there in paradise. He programmed it right into us to need both of these things, to need both work and play. However, if you're like me and you've kind of shunned work and avoided it for a long time, you might have forgotten how to do it. And so I have sought out one of the world's foremost experts in play to teach me how to play again over the past 30 days. And so we actually caught some of it on film. We're going to watch it together today. Let's take a look. Hey, everybody. Pastor Laura here. I have to be really honest with you. I am really terrible at playing. And so I have called in an expert to help me learn how to play over the next 30 days. And it's this guy right here, Mr. Lincoln Vincent himself.
I know how to play really well.
You do. So how are we going to play first?
Hey, guys.
So I asked Lincoln what else I could do for fun, and he said the new Spider-Man movie is pretty awesome, so I'm going to go check it out. What are we building today?
A whole Lego city.
Ooh, we got a good start going on right here.
All right, time to build.
Lincoln, why do you think everybody should play?
Because it's fun. It's all guys.
We had a lot of fun with that. And so here's your homework as you go today. I want you to find one day at one time that you are going to play. And I would love to see what you get into, okay? So you can, if you're on social media, you can post a picture of that. Just hashtag BroadwayBG, or you can tag me in the photo, and we are going to celebrate with you, okay? We are going to celebrate the ways that you are saying no to work being everything, and yes, to play, to making work, you know, again, this thing that is shrunk down to size rather than being the whole of your life. And so let's give it a try. Let's find this rhythm between work and play, remembering together our primary calling, that above and beyond all is being children of our God.